as we go into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word today, we're going to go to a very traditional Advent passage. We're going to be going to the Gospel according to Luke in the first chapter, and we'll be starting in the 26th verse. And this was a passage we actually read this last week during our Wednesday night family night, and we had a wonderful discussion about Mary's response to the news from the angel that she would give birth to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that she would be bringing into this world the Messiah. And we talked about how miraculous that was, but also how miraculous and wonderful her response was. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this today as we talk about the peace that Jesus truly brings to us, the peace that he brings to us when we come together, because Christmas indeed is a season where God brings us, he brings all things together for the good. He brings us together and he brings us joy in that. He brings us love. He brings us hope. He brings us peace. And with this being said, we're going to start with Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What a response. What a willingness, a submissive obedience Mary has to God. Just a quick question. How would you have responded to such news? What would you have said? What would you have done? George, what would you have done? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Nothing is impossible with God. Would your response have been as cheerful, as joyous as Mary? Would it have been equivalent? More? Less? Would it have been completely opposite? Mary had a lot of things to worry about, which is something we talked about last Wednesday at our family night. She had a lot of things to worry about. To become pregnant when you're betrothed, and you and your betrothed didn't do the things that make babies, would have been a capital offense. Adultery was a capital offense in this culture, a death by stoning. And here Mary was going to be pregnant. This young girl, which she was believed to be about 13 at this time, when she would give birth to the Messiah, was going to face a world of ridicule, was going to face a world of questions, was going to face scorn,
possibly even from her betrothed. Because as we read in the Gospel of Matthew, Joseph plans to divorce Mary quietly to hopefully save her some of her shame. And thanks be to God, the angel comes to Joseph and tells him what's going on. And he doesn't. The point is, would you have responded, knowing all of that, would you have surrendered just like Mary? What would your response be? The reality is, life is hard, and hard things happen. Difficult things happen in this life, even when you're following the will of God. I don't know if you've ever been there. I know I've been there, where I'm like, God, I'm doing exactly what you want me to do. I'm trying to do exactly what you want me to do. I never get it all the way right. But, you know, God, I'm trying my best here. Why is it so hard? Why is it so difficult? Why is there so much hurt? Why is there so much pain? I thought if I did what you wanted me to do, all that would just go away. And truth be told, he never told us it was going to be easy. He never told us it was going to be fun. But what he did tell us is it would be worth it. It would always be worth it, for we know that this day, this pain, this present age is a blink of the eye in light of eternity. And we know, and we have hope like we've talked about. We have hope that thrives, that goes beyond. We have a joy that lasts because we have a love that serves. Our God loves us so much that he came as a baby, born of a carpenter, in a manger, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he came to serve us. He came to save us. He came to free us. We didn't deserve it, but he did it nonetheless. And in all of this, in all the hard things, the difficult things, even when we live in the will of God, we have peace. Peace is a funny thing. It really is. It's just kind of like joy. We talked about how it always seems to be in our grasp and then it slips out. Peace is just one of those things that's also very elusive. And I believe it's because we misunderstand the peace that Jesus brings to us. Because Jesus makes it very clear in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus is a bringer of peace. And we're celebrating peace this Sunday. We celebrate as we light the candle of peace as that fourth gift that Jesus brings to us through his coming. We have peace. But this peace is different. It's unlike anything this world has to offer. In fact, the world can't offer us this kind of peace. This kind of peace can only be given to us through Jesus Christ, because Jesus makes it clear, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. It's not the same kind of peace. Well, what kind of peace is it? How do we know we have it? How do we know we found it? How do we find it? I believe the Apostle Paul elaborates for us in Philippians. He elaborates for us in Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7, where it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That sounds like a peace, not as the world gives. This peace that surpasses all understandings. What does that even mean? What does it even mean that peace would surpass all understanding? It means it would not be the peace of this world. A peace we can understand and grasp very easily when things go the way we want them to go, when we have the things we want to have, when we want to have them, when we get to live a Burger King life. Have it your way, have it your way. For those born in the 80s and 90s, you might have caught that jingle a couple times on TV. What is this peace that surpasses then? And how does it guard our hearts and minds? What does anxiety have anything to do with it? What does fear and worry have anything to do with this, Paul? How will it, once again, guard our hearts and minds? This peace that surpasses all understanding, this peace of God. Jesus gives us peace, but how? And I don't know about you, but there's many days where you may feel, I know I do, that there is no peace. I loved our hymn sing this last Sunday, or Friday, this last Friday that we had over in the chapel. We sang a hymn called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And this is a song that I discovered just a couple of years ago. And I just love it so much. And then our very own Felicia stood up and told us the history of this hymn. She told us the history of the hymn and how it was written, because it starts with, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, peace on earth, they pray. And the whole point is, like, it's this joyful song in the very beginning and the opening, but it's played in a minor key. So it's kind of, it's like, this doesn't sound very joyful at all. And then it gets into the middle of the song. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And she explained to us, the author of this hymn wrote it during the Civil War. Wrote it during the Civil War, during a great time of strife, warfare, and the struggles, even between brothers. Brother against brother, sister against sister. The whole nation was divided. And boy, we don't have to go very far into history and see that division time and time and time again. We don't even have to look very far in this present day to see that division everywhere. We can all echo the lament of this song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Where is this peace that surpasses all understanding? Where is it? What is peace anyways? Let's look at our social spheres. Can we say there's peace even there? You only have to hop on Facebook for 5 minutes to realize that there's not much peace there either. What is peace? That is the million-dollar question. More importantly, what is the peace that Jesus brings us that's different from this world? I want to hear what you think peace is. Church, my family of families, what do you think peace is by understanding of the world? How the world understands peace. What do we think it is? According to the world. That's a good question, or a good answer for the other question I'm about to ask, Greg. So hold on to that. According to the world, what is peace? Absence of guns. Okay. Absence of conflict. Lucas?
No more war.
These are all great answers. Anything else? What about tranquility? Just some simple tranquility. We pay in this culture hundreds of dollars for massages. We pay hundreds of dollars to sit in tanks that we can cut off the entire world and just sit in tranquility and what we would call peace. Google defines peace as freedom from disturbance. And let me tell you something, if that's peace, I'm never going to have it. It's never coming. Freedom from disturbance. Come on now. But what do you think the Bible means when Jesus brings us a peace that surpasses all understanding? Because I'm going to tell you, that kind of peace, we ain't getting it. It's not coming. But here's the thing. The peace that Jesus brings has come. What do you think the peace Jesus brings is? Greg, what'd you say? Yeah, to be made at peace with God, reconciliation with God, restoration with God. What else? Shalom. Great answer. Great answer. Shalom. You know what shalom means? It does mean peace, but it's like if you really dig into it, you find the word content. Nothing missing, nothing broken, content, truly at rest. Being at peace means to be at rest. And here's the thing is, there's a lot of things missing. There's a lot of things broken in this world. How are we to be at rest in the midst of that? How are we to be content in that? It's because we've been reconciled with God, Greg. We've been reconciled and we've been given an inner peace that though chaos ensues around us, though COVID is spreading everywhere, we have an inner peace. I think about my last week. I'm going to be a little bit transparent with you here, and I hope that's okay. Boy, I had no peace. And I kept asking God, I need peace, Lord. I need peace. There's no peace here. And I was getting frustrated each and every day as we were packing up stuff. Then I found out I had to go to the post office to pay to rekey our mailbox, which was like $85. And then we had to get a new fridge, which was a lot of money. But boy, God provided in a mighty way there. We'll get to that later. But the point is, it was just I saw my savings account because we made the initial deposit and rent payment on the home just dwindling. You know, we had worked so hard to build this wonderful emergency fund for that stuff happens day. And let me tell you, stuff has been happening. And our emergency fund went from fully funded to nearly with a few dollars in it. You know, it just dwindled and dwindled and dwindled each and every day. And boy, I was getting so angry. I was getting so upset. And I was like, oh, we have to move during Christmas. How are we ever going to do this? And it never seemed like we were moving fast enough. It always seemed like we were moving too slow as we were packing stuff up in the home. And I was like, God, I don't have peace. I need peace. And you know what God literally smacked me across the face with? Practice what you preach. Brandon, you know what you're going to speak on this week. You know the word I've given you this week. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled or be afraid. Practice what you preach. You're looking for peace in this world. You're looking for peace in a bank account. You're looking for peace in everything going according to your plan. You're looking for peace in just being done and over with and not just enjoying the process, enjoying the place that you are in life, being content no matter the chaos that's ensuing around you. Being at peace and rest, knowing He's God. And boy, when that hit me, and it hit me hard. All I can say is like Job at the end of Job when he's saying, God, vindicate me. And God's like, I'm God, you're not. And Job's like, you're right. That was the only response I had to God was, you're right. I'm looking for peace in all the wrong places. We tend to do this in this world. We tend to look for peace in all the wrong places because once again, things like Google define peace as the freedom of disturbance. But let me tell you something. When you live in a home with three small children, there are lots of disturbances. And you can't find peace. You're not going to find it there. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ who gives us a peace that surpasses understanding. Who allows us to laugh when those disturbances come because they bring us joy and happiness. They bring us peace because we see God in the everyday, in the difficult, and in the good. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian, says it best. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian during World War II, during the rise of Nazism in Germany. He was also part of something known as the Confessing Church. He was one of the founders of the Confessing Church. And the Confessing Church was a movement within the church that said, we are not going to bow or just give ourselves over to the government. We will not hang swastikas in our sanctuaries. We are not going to hail Hitler. We're going to hail Jesus. And they stood on that principle. They stood on that, and he was eventually executed for that. And you can read a book called Papers and Letters from Prison. And you can see peace in them. You can see the turmoil and struggle that he went through, but you also see peace. The same peace we see in the Psalters. The Psalmists, the people who write the Psalms. They start off with lament and despair, and then they talk about who God is, and then there's hope. There's so much hope, and that's a typical pattern we see in the Psalms. Because peace doesn't mean there's not going to be disturbances. Peace doesn't mean that there won't be trouble. Peace doesn't mean there won't be difficulty. Peace doesn't mean you're not going to get thrown in jail and executed for your faith in Christ. Like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote this, "There is no way to peace along the way of safety. For peace must be dared. It is the great venture. It can never be made safe. Peace is the opposite of security. To demand guarantees is to mistrust. And this mistrust, in turn, brings forth war." When we make demands to God, "God, you do this and I will be content. You do these things and I'll be at peace finally. So God, get on it. Come on, let's get on it." It's mistrust in God and what God has organized, what God has designed, what God has ordained, knowing that the fullness, the absolute fullness of life in Christ doesn't begin here today. It begins in the next. It begins in the next. Yes, we get to live in the fullness and the abundance of life here and now, but there's still some things we will not experience here and now, and that is no sickness, no pain. Speaking of pain, does anybody got some hips and knees that they can send up this way? We're still going to deal with those struggles, those battles, those pains, those sufferings. But the day is coming. And if we can trust in our Lord, we can trust in our God, that even though our bodies may fold today, they'll be raised anew, just like Christ, physically risen anew. And there will be a day of no more pain, no more suffering. I love what Bonhoeffer continues with. He says, "Peace means to give oneself altogether to the law of God, wanting no security, but in faith and obedience, laying the destiny of the nations in the hand of Almighty God." Giving our lives over, orienting ourselves to Christ, that is the way to find true peace. To find ourselves truly content is to be content in who God is and who God has made us to be and where God has placed us to be. Peace can only be found there, not in safety and security, not in having houses with fancy alarm systems. Peace won't be found there. And in fact, we found out in our old home, alarm systems can cause quite a bit of disturbances. And I found out here, whenever there was a mouse over in the chapel, it can cause many 2 a.m. calls from the alarm company saying, "Hey, the alarm's going off. Is anyone there?" "No, let me get up and go in and see what's going on." Peace isn't found in a bank account. I kept looking for peace in a bank account this week. And boy, I wasn't going to find it there. I was not going to find it there. And you know, instead of looking for peace there, I should have looked in the peace that God had already given me. That savings account was there just when we needed it. Yes. And it had more than enough in it to take care of all the bills, all the things, all the deposits that we needed and some. I told you I'd talk more about the fridge later. We had relatives that we probably even had heard from in a long time send us Christmas gifts. And most people who send Christmas gifts from long ways, it's either an Amazon package or it's a card. And we had even relatives who haven't sent like anything in the card for a long time because we don't expect that. We understand. Getting a card in itself is awesome, but they would include money. And we were able to have enough money, minus I think a couple hundred dollars, to buy our new fridge. Once again, God provided. God provided for us and gave us peace, not in our circumstances of not being disturbed, but in the midst of our disturbance, showing us that He is sovereign and He is over this thing. He is working in and through it. Even more so, He was working in and through you to bring us peace. Moving day yesterday. That was a really stressful morning for me, waking up. I remember thinking in my mind, God, is anybody going to show up? I know some people said they would, but is anybody actually going to be here? We can't do this, God. We can't do this. Practice what you preach. Once again, the Word of God slapped me in the face. Stop looking for peace in the wrong places. And you know where peace came from? It came from you, the body of Christ. Jesus' hands and feet here on earth. And boy, I feel that God's kingdom broke through into our lives last night on earth as it is in heaven. As we came together as a family, and did something I thought would be impossible. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, Paul says. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It starts here, church. That peace that Jesus comes to bring us starts here. It starts by us giving up worry, giving up fear, giving up anxiety, and going to God in prayer, orienting ourselves to Christ in prayer. And then it takes a step further, orienting one another. Because if we're orienting ourselves, we will be orienting others, encouraging others to look to Christ to find a peace that surpasses all understandings, a peace that we can't even understand. Because despite what's going on in this world, despite the pain, despite the suffering, despite everything, we can be content. We can be at rest. We can have peace. I want to talk a little bit more about that song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Because the end of the song, you know, it goes from, I hear bells on Christmas Day, and then there's despair. And then it goes back to this ending verse, and it says, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth He sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. The bells pealed louder. What is the answer? How do we find peace? We praise God all the more in the storm. We praise Him all the more in the trials, in the suffering. We go to God all the more. And let me tell you something, those bells wouldn't have pealed if there was no one there to peel them. To ring them. We ring those bells of peace for one another, and we bring one another together in peace, joining Christ, supporting, encouraging, and lifting up each other in prayer. This is who we are to be as a family of families. All the more why Jesus brings us together. For it's Christmas, and Christmas is a time for us to do just this. To come together. I think about when I had brain cancer and I got diagnosed right before my surgery. I got messages from all around the world. Literally, I got messages from China, Europe, and Haiti. All the places I had been throughout my travels in my life. And places my friends have been that I met people that they had met along their journeys. I kept getting messages pouring in, praying for me, encouraging me. And let me tell you something. In that, there was much peace, great peace, peace that surpassed all understanding. This is the peace that Jesus has given to us. How do we obtain it? Well, of course, we turn to Jesus. We make no demand, as Bonhoeffer said. We don't say, Lord, if you do these things, if you fix this, then I can have peace, then I will be okay. But we say, God, I trust you. Here today, I trust you. And here today, I stand on you, my solid rock. And I can have peace. I can be content. I can have contentment despite my circumstances. This is how Mary was able to say, let it be, so long ago when she got that news. She was given peace that surpassed all understanding. And this is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.